We try to play with great pace. We try to play with great pace. Ran a lot of pick and roll, pick and pop type actions. Oh, you'll see us play. Some people look at the guy next to him and say, what the hell was that shot? Hell, I could have been Gronk before Gronk was Gronk.
And welcome back to another episode of Bangarangs and Daggers. I'm your co-host, located out here in the Eastern Time Zone in Washington, D.C., Kevin Knight. And with me, as always, is one of the members of the three-man weave. We're unsure if all three of us will be here tonight or not. That is TBD. But of course, as always, is trusty Patrick. Patrick, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, though. I don't know how trustworthy I am, considering how late I just came through. And more importantly, it's been a little while since we've done a podcast.
Perhaps just a little bit.
One you did was with Chris, right? That basketball interview with Chris Hetty?
Correct.
I would recommend everybody go back and check out. It's a really great interview. You get really good insight from a former Nebraska beat writer on the current state of Nebraska basketball. It's a really good interview by our team here. So.
Yeah, not to toot my own horn too much, but it was because, frankly, I wasn't the highlight of that podcast, obviously. That one was a fantastic episode. He had so much interesting stuff to say. It's a long one, but if you like Nebraska ball, it is the best one in quite a while. Hopefully to be topped by tonight's, even though it'll be a quick reaction to the schedule. But first, how was your holiday? It was America's birthday.
Before first, I want to say I'm a little upset with you because a couple years ago, I asked for an interview with him when he was with the Omaha World Herald and he declined. So good job. I'm actually not pissed. I'm actually really happy you got him on. So, but no, he once shunned our podcast, but now that he's down at KU, he's down in Lawrence. He thinks he's cool. He decides he can hang with us. So.
Well, he did want to come back on, so maybe you should interview him next time.
You know, why ruin a good thing? You guys have a good rapport in that whole thing. You know, we'll play it by ear.
We'll see. Hopefully, after listening to this, because clearly he's going to be a fan of the podcast now, hopefully after listening to this, he can't wait to come on again, because he did say that he was interested, so hopefully.
Hopefully.
Well, yeah, no, America's birthday. How was your 4th of July?
Good. I was with my in-laws in Omaha. Kids had a great time. You know, we spent a lot of time outside, spent a lot of time playing in the water, spent a lot of time playing fireworks and trying to not get their body parts blown off. So, yeah, no, it was good. How about yours?
It was fantastic. My husband and I did our first COVID, post-COVID vacation together. We were down in Key West. That is the first time that we've been there since our only other time there back in 2015 when I popped the question. So it has a special place in our heart. Was a fantastic time. And we got out just literally as the front cloud edges of Elsa started to cover the airport and the wind started to pick up. Granted, it was a tropical storm at the time. None of the locals were remotely fazed. Surprise, surprise. But, you know, for somebody who has lived through a couple of hurricanes in D.C., weirdly, but, you know, still would like to, you know, make sure that I get out on the flight. It was nice to get out when we did. Not a ton of turbulence on the way out there. Passed real quick. And, yeah, perfect vacation with just in the nick of time letting it go.
I was going to say, the locals were like Elsa and knew how to let it go.
Beat you to the punch.
Although you did. I was waiting for a good... I was waiting a good 15, 20 seconds to say it, and you just snuck right in at the end and stole it from me. Good job.
You know, I've never actually watched Frozen, and I refuse to because back in the day here in D.C. Well, yeah, I mean, back in the day here in D.C., I used to work for a gay bar, and I would work the Monday show tunes night, and I had to listen to Let It Go so many times every Monday night. I just...
Really?
I want to scream, but... yeah, I mean, the one of the many songs that weren't actually proper show tunes, but of course get played a lot. So,
my daughter, my 2.5-year-old daughter, I was taking care of her last night. My son went to dance class and we're hanging out. And of course, she brings out her Frozen microphone, this little toy Frozen microphone she has. And I look at her and I go, do you want to listen to Frozen? She looks up at me, this big smile. Yeah. So we listened to Let It Go at least three times before we went on to other songs.
Nice. But yeah, no, I mean, great 4th of July for both of us. But and I think everybody here is excited about the fact that the Nebraska ball non-conference schedule dropped earlier today. We're recording this on July 6th, Tuesday. And earlier this afternoon, I guess right around noon Central time, I suppose, about 12:36 p.m., they dropped the non-conference schedule in full. So, without further ado, let's get into it, shall we? We've got Peru State and Colorado as exhibition games to open up. Obviously, we already knew about Colorado. But the season opener, Western Illinois, Kobe Webster's old team, Tuesday, November 9th. What do you think of the Western Illinois, whatever their mascot is?
Well, let's start at the exhibitions, just because why not? We've got the time.
Yeah, I mean, there's an important opponent in one of them, at least. So
There's two. The first one's on October 27th. You have Peru State, which is in Peru, Nebraska, town of about 50 people. It is technically Nebraska's first college. Did you know that?
I did not, actually. That's interesting to know that.
Yeah, and I think 1989 NAIA or Division III national champs in football. And on top of that, they have a very beautiful stadium called the Oak Bowl, which, as you can imagine, is in a bowl of oak trees. So that should be a win.
So their population as of the 2020 census, by the way, was actually 898.
There you go. It's technically bigger than my town, my hometown that I live in. So no, Peru State, that should be a good idea of kind of how Nebraska plays. But moving on, Colorado is coming to town on the 31st. Old conference rival. Unfortunately, the football team has yet to beat them, you know, in the last 10 years. But Colorado's a good team. They're a good Pac-12 squad. They fought well. Really positioned themselves in the top of the Pac-12 last year as a basketball team. They've got some good players coming back. They will be a threat. It's an exhibition. It's for charity, for three Lincoln charities. And I wouldn't gloss over the Colorado game, even though it's an exhibition. Think of it like back in the day when we play Iowa State secretly and we didn't know who won always. You know, if we lose, luckily it's just an exhibition, doesn't count towards us. But if we win, I would count that in the very good column for the Nebraska basketball season if they beat the Buffs.
I mean, even a competitive loss in the exhibition game, frankly, would be a excellent step just before officially opening the season, because that Colorado Pack or the Buffalo team, not sure how many they returned from last year's squad, but that was a damn good team. The CU squad there. So can't imagine that they're that big of a drop off, even if they lost a couple of key guys. They should still be a good barometer for fans, should have a fun opportunity, especially since it's in Lincoln and not Boulder, for fans to go out and root for folks and help support some worthy charities as well. But yeah, no, that's and on Halloween of all times should add a little bit of fun to that.
Maybe the Colorado Buffalo mascot Chip can actually go as a bison for Halloween.
Good one.
It's late at night. My jokes are bad. No, that was terrible. That was not good. Moving on to Western Illinois.
Yep. So Kobe Webster's old team, whatever the mascot is, who cares? Nobody from Western Illinois is going to listen to this, so. No angry emails this time.
If you are a Western Illinois fan, please leave a comment at the bottom. We will respond with, that's nice.
Yep. Leathernecks. Okay, there's your shout out. Oh, yeah. I looked it up.
They've got a cool mascot. It's a cool mascot. It's a bulldog, right?
Is that what a leatherneck is?
No, but I think the mascot is technically a bulldog. I don't know the history. when I think of Leathernecks, I think of the Marines, the U.S. Marines, and another nickname for them is the Devil Dogs, and a lot of the stuff that goes along with the Devil Dogs is a bulldog, if I remember right, in regards to the Marines. So in my head, I'm looking at the Western Illinois mascot as a bulldog for some reason in my head. Let's look it up.
Okay, yeah, so Western Illinois University holds the distinction of being the only non-military institution to officially have its nickname derived from a branch of the military service. School began use of the Marine Corps' official nickname, the Fighting Leathernecks, in 1927 when then athletic director and head baseball, basketball, and football coach Ray Rock Hansen was granted permission by the U.S. Navy, based on his status as a Marine hero, to use the Marines' official seal and bulldog mascot along with their nickname. So that is how they have a bulldog as the mascot logo, but are the Fighting Leathernecks.
Usually when I assume, I make an ass out of you and me, but this time, damn. Okay, cool. Usually you're the one patting yourself on the back. What's up?
I can't be the only one having fun.
Nebraska should win that game. Nebraska should win that game. That should be a W in the Nebraska column. If Nebraska doesn't come out with a win against the Leathernecks, then there might be some early season issues that they're going to have to correct quite quickly. Because in the next game is going to be fine, but in two games, that could be a major problem. So let's move on to November 12th.
Yep, so next up is Sam Houston State, who finished third in their conference last season. That's all I got. I'm not sure how they actually... Oh, they went 19-9 overall.
They're a football school.
They did play Texas Tech and lost. Same to Boise State as well. So
good for them.
And LSU, Texas. They beat Rice, though, so...
And Sam Houston is the patron saint of Texas, right? Like that.
Yep. Well, you know, you're a bit closer to Texas. You probably care more about their history than I do.
I'll go with that. Sure.
Okay. So after that, though, is something that may be controversial with some Nebraska fans. The annual... We still haven't come up with a great nickname for this. The annual I-80 bash, the annual I-80 pitchforkery contest. I'm not really sure exactly. Anyway, Creighton comes to town, but it has been lumped in with the Gavitt Tip-Off Games, which is an annual series dating back to, I forget when exactly, 2015, 2016, something like that.
It's an old one.
Yeah, it's a very new one, and it's an annual challenge between the Big Ten and the Big East. It did take a year off because of COVID-19, but this year the Creighton-Nebraska game has been lumped in as those two teams paired together, which is interesting in part because Nebraska had actually contractually filled out its obligation to it. It was initially a... Yeah, it must have been 2016 because it's like a six-year series ending in 2022. Because the Big Ten has many, many more teams in the Big East, not every Big Ten team actually takes place in it every year. Anyway, all that to say, Creighton has been lumped in with the Gavitt Tip-Off Game. Does it matter? Does it ruin the series? Does it detract from the series? What's your take?
You know, I mean, grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter, but I would prefer Nebraska to play Creighton on their own. I don't think it should be part of a tip-off games. It fills a contractual obligation for the Big Ten, which is an easy thing to do, and that's fine. But, you know, the Nebraska-Creighton series is pretty much Nebraska's only rivalry, though it's been heavily on the Creighton side over the past few years. It's been, I think, 3 years since Nebraska won it. In the last 10, I think they've won it maybe once or twice. But nonetheless, Creighton has a series lead.
3 years ago. 3 years ago. Miles Creighton, last year, right?
Yeah. He finally got the big guy, McDermott, which he, if I remember right, up until that point, Miles is like 0-8, 0-6 against McDermott because he was at North Dakota State when McDermott was at Wayne State, Nebraska. You know, anyway, long story. Nebraska's, Creighton's had the upper hand lately. I think in terms of the series, it's 27-26. Creighton in the lead. But, you know, I want this to stand alone. I think the series should stand alone for Nebraska and Creighton. It's good for both schools. It's good for the state. It's important. Regardless if it's played in Lincoln or Omaha, it is sold out. And I'm going to be very insular on this and say that it should be a Nebraska thing and not part of the Gavitt Games. You know, not a whole lot of logic behind it, just emotion. And, you know, I'm probably not the only one, but I would say a majority of people probably couldn't care. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's more than fair as a Nebraska fan to hold that opinion. Frankly, the Gavitt tip-off games, while kind of fun, are mostly, they're nothing like the ACC Big Ten Challenge or, depending on the year, Big Ten ACC Challenge. It alternates every year. I never remember, and I don't care which is which. Anyway, in this series, though, it's fun in that, as weird as it is, there's a fair number of Big East teams that are really more towards the Midwest than the Eastern Seaboard. To a degree, you get a good team typically. I mean, this year, for example, Michigan State gets to go to Butler, which is kind of cool because Tom Izzo has never played in Hinkle Fieldhouse. Michigan State hasn't faced Butler since 2010. So merely as an example, actually, they did used to play pretty regularly in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, interestingly. But then the series died off. Anyway, basically, it's a trip to Hinkle Fieldhouse, which is kind of cool. So, I mean, like, you get stuff like that out of this series is what I'm trying to say. But overall, for I remember somebody had commented on the article announcing this that, you know, it's too bad that it has to be part of conference pride now, too. You know, that's a lot of pressure. Nobody in the Big Ten cares if we win or lose the Gavitt games. Nobody gives a rip. All they care about is their team. And if you get to see an exciting game like Michigan-Villanova the year after Villanova skunked their asses in the national title game. So stuff like that is fun that we get out of this series, but that's it. So, I mean, like, it will end up basically just helping the Gavitt games get better ratings. But in the end, it doesn't really have a whole lot of impact on the series. I don't think, other than it takes a little bit of varnish off of it, so to speak, if you're a fan of either of those teams, in that then it ends up having, you know, some type of logo affiliation with it during the game, and you have to listen to them talk about the Gavitt games instead of just focusing on the in-state series. They lump that stuff into. But maybe that'll give them something interesting to talk about if the game turns out to be a flop. So maybe that's the bright side to focus on. Regardless, though, you know, should be hopefully a good win for Nebraska this time around. They're due for some good luck in the series. And I am curious to see if maybe Creighton had a scheduling issue in that lumping it in with the Gavitt games is maybe what made it happen, or vice versa for Nebraska. They weren't going to be able to fulfill making the series work with the 20-game conference schedule that the Big Ten has. I'm not sure. We probably won't really know that until years from now, maybe at best, if it even was the reason. But just a thought. It might have been an issue in that regard. So who's to know? But anywho.
As a Nebraskan, I'm going to blame the Big Ten.
Yeah, fair.
Anyway, moving on. Idaho State.
Oh, boy. Idaho State.
Big Sky represent, the pride of all Big Sky country. Idaho State. Yeah.
Fifth in the Big Sky last season. And 13-11 overall.
If Nebraska loses this game, I don't know. Everybody remember Incarnate Word? Yeah. I think we should move on to Southern.
Yep. Southern, which is part of Nebraska's multi-team event this year. As folks may remember, Nebraska has been a number of these events, including Most recently, the Cayman Islands Classic in 2019, the Hall of Fame Classic 2018, the Advocare Invitational in 2017. And we're supposed to take part in the Myrtle Beach Invitational in 2020. That obviously was moved and eventually canceled due to COVID-19. Nebraska pulled out of it before it was fully canceled and set up their own Golden Window Tournament in Lincoln. Curiously, and we'll touch on this a little bit later. We'll focus on the schedule aspect of it for now. But interestingly, Nebraska seems to have kept the MTE idea with a three-game series in Lincoln running from November 21st against Southern through on November 23rd against Tennessee State, and finally finishing up November 27th with South Dakota. So those three games are all part of what is being billed as a unnamed multi-team event.
I hope it's better than the Golden Window Tournament.
True. That one was basically a throwaway name that Bill Moose gave it, saying that we have a golden window, and they decided to use that for the name. It. Yeah,
exactly. No, I mean, honestly, like, and you and I were talking about this in Coronation back earlier today. I thought this whole deal of Nebraska bringing in these, I don't want to say known, just non-Power 5 teams into Lincoln for a little mini tournament was kind of a COVID thing last year. That was the plan. You know, they had a window. It was golden. It was very nice. And they tried to take advantage of it. And I kind of assumed that would be the one-off and Nebraska would go back to trying to get into tournaments like the Myrtle Beach tournament and whatnot. But I guess they're going to keep going with this. And, you know, I mean, the teams in it, Southern, Tennessee State, and South Dakota, you know, outside of a payday, what's the benefit? I mean, is Lincoln going to see a major influx in income, you know, the city itself outside the university, because Lincoln has the infrastructure to host something like this, and if not even bigger, they do on a regular basis. But this Nebraska MTE tournament is kind of peculiar, and you know, we're not the only ones. I mean, you mentioned Indiana's having one, Rutgers is having one, correct? You know, what's the point of doing these? I mean, have you thought about it more since we last discussed, Kevin?
Not a ton, to be honest. I've had to do a little bit of day job stuff this evening, post holiday. But yeah, I mean, just to reiterate what we kind of talked a little bit about, particularly with the dates, because I hadn't really looked at this previously. So November 21st and 23rd against Southern and Tennessee State. First off, I mean, what kind of basketball fan base does this have? Pretty much zero. So you're not getting anybody outside of Nebraska's existing fan base. But you're also talking about a Sunday and a Tuesday game in Lincoln during Thanksgiving Day week. So, I mean, yeah, I'm sure you're going to get plenty of fans, and MTEs give you extra games on your schedule. So these are games that Lincoln wouldn't have had. But at the end of the day, it's not like you're going to make or break as a business or, you know, see – the PBA is a big arena, but like one extra game on the year, two extra games for Nebraska fans already coming, especially with a non-marquee opponent. It's not like you're really going to see a massive cash flow. I mean, I get it. These are businesses that operate on the margin. We're talking about restaurants and bars. You know, they've been struggling for over a year. I don't mean to diminish that. It's merely just if at the end of the day, as a basketball program, your goal is to get national exposure out of these types of events for the most part. And I don't get what I was doing with theirs either. And Rutgers traditionally has seen their MTE every year that I've known about it has always had a focus of playing other states in New Jersey. And it's sort of a New Jersey showcase. Now, usually they end up having one rando school from not New Jersey added, but you see Rutgers play notable other New Jersey schools in a state that has a lot of schools and a lot of programs, including some pretty noteworthy ones, or at least some historic ones that can have some fun rivalries for the people who live there. You know, I mean, adding South Dakota is a nice finish, but Southern and Tennessee State, like, what was the goal here? I'm curious what it was, and I don't mean to come across as overly critical, but it's just none of these schools have a lot of money. Nebraska sold the MT last year, the Golden Window, as being a low-cost event alternative to things like, you know, the premier ones, the Jim Maui the Maui Jim Maui Invitational, which is a little redundant on the name, but you know, that one, the Bahamas, the Hall of Fame Classic, the Emerald Coast Classic, that there's like 8 billion of these things every year.
Do,
but
do you know which one I miss? Do you know which one I miss?
Which one?
Was it the Great Alaska Shootout?
Oh, that one was a great name, yeah.
That was great. Now it was a great name. It was a great location. The court was awesome. It had a beautiful motif on it for the university. Yeah, I missed that one. Whatever happened to it? We should find out and do an episode.
Yeah, I want to know if they ever brought back Puerto Rico. After Hurricane Maria, I believe it was, devastated the island, they had to move it stateside, and I'm not sure that they ever ended up taking it back. They moved it stateside for that 1 year, and I'm not sure if it's ever come back. I really hope it did, because I absolutely love that island, and I would love to be able to go to one of these series. But yeah, I mean, so as I was saying, though, I mean, Nebraska's MT isn't really going to be able to replace a Maui Jim Maui, but I mean, long term, if they're interested in this, I could certainly see them having the facilities to replace a thing like the Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City, or compete with it at least for brand names. But it's just, you know, if you're trying to build it, I'm not really sure how you're doing that with Southern and Tennessee State. You know, certainly throw a bone to some of the other schools like South Dakota and whatnot that are nearby.
South Dakota, you could even do UNO up in Omaha. I mean, UNO would be a great fit. You get fans down there.
Yeah.
Northern Iowa, you know, you can do another local school, but you can't do it can't be for as far the way you and I are looking at it. You really can't take Nebraska against a bunch of regional universities.
You know, ones that aren't even in the region.
No, I mean regional for their own area. You need at least one other big name in there. You know, that's just me. I mean, we should call Seamus and see what is actually going on. Though Seamus probably has better things to do than let us bug him. So, Seamus, we love you. You're one of the best SIDs in the business.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
We mean no harm, and we certainly wouldn't be offended that you'd send us straight to voicemail. But we would love the reasoning on this. Yeah, like what's the goal? That's all. That's what we're curious about.
Yeah,
because I mean, to circle back on defending Nebraska, I mean, Rutgers' list this year is kind of trash. Iowa's list is completely trash, and Indiana is once again sitting out. This I want to say they sat out in MT like 2 years ago, or maybe it was last year, even before COVID. I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure the Hoosiers have sat out one or two or a couple of these now, which is kind of weird. But you know, exactly. It's just, if you want to grow this, you know, at least give us a BYU or something, even like a somebody that wows us more than Southern and Tennessee State. No offense to those guys, but you know, you have one or two of these and you make it a real bracket with at least one other P6 program. Give me somebody. And then throw in a fun regional school every year. Rotate South Dakota, North Dakota.
You get one or two good schools in that, and you have the networks wanting to showcase it. They want to show it. There, nothing on this bill says, hey, let's be on FS1. Hey, let's be on ESPNU. I'm hitting those because I know where Nebraska sits right now in basketball in the United States. But I mean, you know, it's Southern Tennessee State and South Dakota. You know, those right now, unless something bad happens, those should be all three wins for the Huskers. No questions asked. And I'm not even 100% bully on the team yet. It's just that these teams are just at that point. So, yeah.
Yep.
Ooh, we got a.
It'll be interesting.
We got a real challenge coming up next, though.
Oh yeah, as long as the game happens, because the team is fully vaccinated by that point. Too soon?
Ooh, no, never too soon. Never too soon. Who does Nebraska play?
They play at, in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, NC State.
Whoa, pack.
Now, for the love of the athletic department, please save money by making sure that the game will happen before you pay for the charter. Just saying.
That was a drama-filled College World Series.
So easily solved by NC State's actions. So easily solved. The rule...
Let's not get into it.
I can't. Really quick. Whether you agree with them or not, the rules were set like 2.5 months prior to this event. And if you wanted to avoid the testing and this and that, you had to do X. And they didn't do X, and they got punished for it. If you just did X, Texas, all that needed to happen. Anyway, all
Texas
that aside,
did X. Texas yes. did X.
Even Texas did. Even Texas did. So anyway, all right, NC State. Should be an interesting game. I honestly have no idea where they finished in the ACC last year, though the ACC was a bit weak in the end.
But it's NC State. They should show up pretty decent. I mean, I can't really say which way this game's going to go right now. I think once Nebraska starts getting 2, 3, 4 games into the season, we'll probably have a better idea of kind of how they'll do against the Wolfpack.
All right, Nebraska's 14-11, 9-8 in conference.
Yeah, Nebraska's done okay in the Big Ten Challenge, but not great. And the way the Big Ten ACC Challenge is set up, they kind of go by previous year's record. Like, they try to make it pseudo fair. It's not like they're not going to throw Duke against Penn State. You know, like you're going to see good games, and so the top teams in each conference are going to play the top teams. And the bottom are going to play the bottom. So, I mean, Nebraska should be fairly decently paired, at least on paper, against NC State. So, that'll be
it. Although, to be fair, based on how they did, Duke probably ended up getting overmatched based on their results from last season and
against Ohio State, right?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for the reminder. Yeah, Ohio State.
Yeah.
But they also take into account, projection to a certain degree as well. So,
yeah.
And to be fair, Nebraska is unfortunately after last season down to a 500 record, but is one of only 3 Big Ten teams with a 500 record. And only 2 teams have a winning record, Penn State and Purdue of all teams, both sitting at 11-9. And the damn Maryland Terrapins, since they joined the Big Ten, are 1-6.
Ooh.
Those lousy ACC sellouts.
They needed the money, man.
Because they were 10-5 in the ACC against the Big Ten.
Well, the ACC holds the overall lead, don't they?
True, quite a bit. It's 12-7-3 in favor of the ACC, 7-12-3. In favor of the Big Ten.
I'm just happy for once we're not playing Georgia Tech.
True. Or who's the other one? They played Clemson a fair number of times. And
I think only once in the challenge, though. We had a series with them for a couple years, and then the ACC challenge on top of that, if I remember right.
I think that they were basically a like home and home flip back and forth over like a 3-year period.
Yeah, but that was outside the ACC, Big Ten ACC challenge.
Wake Forest is another one that they played twice, and Miami.
Some
cycling through it now, just really quick out of curiosity. Yeah, no, you're right. I thought they played Clemson in the Big Ten ACC Challenge more than once, but nope, just the one time. And then Boston College, Wake Forest, Miami, and yeah, that's it, pretty much. So NC State will be a nice change of pace in that regard.
And I think this is the first time Nebraska's played them, correct?
I'm not sure. I know the next opponent, this will be the first time ever that the programs have faced each other in basketball. But that's getting ahead of ourselves, Eagle. Potentially, unless we – up and – all right. Well, we're moving on then because you spoiled it. In a – this Sorry. One's an interesting one. No, you're fine. This one's an interesting one. It is a what's the why am I blanking on the word here? It's a quad face off or quad event
in Atlanta.
I'm blanking on the word. I'm sorry to our listeners. But anyway, quad event, four games with Nebraska Auburn starting it, though game time has not been set yet. But the Cornhuskers will face the Auburn Tigers in Atlanta on December 11th to open up a set of four games.
We'll call it a hootenanny.
That sounds right, given the South. Yeah, hootenanny. That'd be a much better phrase than the whatever they call it. I forget. It's kind of a silly name. It's a holiday hoopsgiving, which it's like, why are you including the hoopsgiving part? Thanksgiving was like 3 weeks ago.
That is
it's
terrible.
Like 3 weeks after Thanksgiving.
Bruce Pearl and Auburn Tigers. 2 years ago, Auburn had a pretty decent team. This last year, not so much.
Yeah, not
They're
at all.
They're kind of hurting, and it's. I mean, I'm gonna say Nebraska wins this one just based off of. I don't know if Bruce Pearl is gonna pull off what he did at Tennessee before he got kicked out.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, it should be interesting. I think that they are supposed to have a couple of pieces joining them. It's a little early. This literally just came out, so we really haven't had a chance to do proper look at previews of who's coming and who's going on everybody's roster. But anyway, Auburn should be an interesting game. Again, as we said, it's the first time that these teams will have ever faced each other. So that should add some interest to it in that regard.
You know why this will be fun? Because they're two very loyal, very energetic fan bases that have long histories for both schools and athletics, but have no history really together. So this should be fun. I would expect a lot of Auburn fans showing up to this game. And I wouldn't be surprised if quite a few Nebraska fans made the trip down to Atlanta. It's an easy flight from wherever you're at to get there. And it would be just a good weekend to shoot down and root on the Huskers against the Tigers. I mean, it's grand scheme of things, I think this is going to be a fun experience, fun game, and hopefully it's a Husker win. That's just me.
Most definitely. And I mean, it's easy flight to Atlanta. It's a hub. You're going to probably be able to fly there from Lincoln, I assume. I honestly don't actually know 100%. And you can definitely fly there from Omaha.
Yeah, and or wherever you're at, Kansas City, Minneapolis, Des Moines, Chicago. I mean, wherever you're a Husker fan at, you can easily get to Atlanta. I've never met an Auburn fan I didn't like. So it should be a good time between the fan bases. So,
and just for fun, the football team does have a 3-1 advantage over Auburn. Although they lost the most recent outing, but the series dates from 1964 and they last played each other January 1, 2007 in a 17-14 loss by the Huskers.
God, I remember that game.
Yep, the Cotton Bowl. So that was the only bowl game meeting. All the other ones were during the regular season. No, I'm sorry. The first one was a bowl game. What am I talking about? Miami, Florida. January 1, 1964. What do I get? That was long, long before I was even born. So, next up, after the Auburn quad game, is a previously scheduled. The only one that we knew of back the day after the season ended, this would have been the only game that we knew the actual date and location of, and from quite a while ago, really, which is Kansas State. The three-game series was announced a few years ago now, at least 1 year, 1.5 years ago, roughly. But it was pushed back because of COVID-19. It was supposed to start with a neutral site game last season. This season will be the start, and it will be in Lincoln on December 19th. The Wildcats, though. The Wildcats come to town. And they're purple to boot. It's been a long, long day. I'm still tired from baking.
Let me take the old Big 8, Big 12 brethren lead on this. So Nebraska plays Kansas State, first time since Nebraska left the Big 12 for greener-ish pastures in the Big 10. Kansas State is not the Kansas State we once left them in our old conference. They've fallen on a little bit of hard times. They really haven't been that great, but it should be a good game. You'll have a lot of purple and a lot of red in the call, in that place. It's going to be big. It's going to be loud. All the old hate's going to come back. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to this. Kansas State fans, they're rowdy. They're ornery. Let's just say they're ornery. And they'll make it fun. Nebraska fans will drive. And it'll be a great situation. Maybe I'll try to go to that game. That'll be a lot of fun. A lot of fun for Kansas State. A lot of fun for Nebraska. Looking forward to it. It's a good, strong fan base. Another Wildcat that's purple. And... I would be surprised if it doesn't make it, if that game does not end up on at least regional TV. So should be good.
That one's definitely ending up on something better than Big Ten Network. So yeah, I mean, as great as Big Ten Network is in rating in the dollar bills, it doesn't necessarily get the premier games. This one definitely should be a more national network. So even with Kansas State as a bit off, and Nebraska obviously not having a good last couple of years. But yeah, I mean, it's good to see for Husker fans an old Big 8 foe on the schedule. It's a fun thing to add these guys in the non-con.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I mean, last year I think they weren't at the top, that was for sure. They were close to the bottom of the Big 12, but nonetheless, I mean, it'll be a fun game. Just take it for what it's worth. Throw aside all of your old hatred for the fans and just keep it for the game and lick your wounds and, enjoy it for what it is. So, yeah, Kansas State. There's another state coming up. What's the next state?
Oh, sorry. I was going to say they had almost as bad of a season result as the Huskers did. They went 9-20. 9-20 overall, 4-14 in the conference, and they finished ninth in the Big 12, which, unlike the Big 10, is only 10 teams. So, yeah.
And they did have to play the eventual national champion, Baylor Bears, so.
True, though, top to bottom, the Big 10 was deeper by any sane definition of the term deeper.
Unless you're looking at RPI.
It's not 2017. It's not 2017. So the popular thing to do is look at KenPom metrics, because KenPom is a great service, even if it is a little bit biased toward defenses like, say, Wisconsin, who make you want to claw your eyes out. They are metrics, and obviously the net is what replaced the RPI. So when talking about things, it also helps to talk about net rankings, quad one wins, quad two wins, etc. So anyway, you were going to get more quad one and quad two wins in the Big Ten playing a 18 game schedule even than you would playing an 18 game schedule in the Big 12. So
exactly. So what's the next state Nebraska plays?
The final game and the last state for the non-conference slate is Kennesaw State on December 22nd.
Merry Christmas, another Georgia school.
Yep.
Right? Kennesaw State's in Georgia, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I'll look it up. Talk about them real quick while I look it up.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, you want me to talk about Kennesaw State? They're great. They're wonderful. I think their mascot's an owl, and they've got a decent football team. There is a plank involved, like a 2x4 plank. Jason Kirk from Shutdown Fullcast went there. It's in Georgia. Georgia's the Peach State.
So it is a public research university. It is a public research university based in the U.S. state of Georgia with two primary campuses, the main one being in Kennesaw, Georgia, hence the original name Kennesaw State University.
Are they the owls?
That is a different Google search. They are, yep, they are the owls. Their nickname is Scrappy the Owl, or rather their mascot is Scrappy the Owl.
That's adorable.
They have a 41% graduation rate, by the way.
Ooh. My college had 47%.
I have no idea what mine was, honestly.
I only know because, like, this winter at one point, somebody asked me graduation rate of some school, and I looked it up, and, like, 20 minutes later, I went through, like, at least 30 or 40 schools to see what their graduation rates are.
Looks like they went 5-19 last season, 2-13 in the conference.
Oh, God, this is going to be murder.
Yep, and they play in the A-Sun Conference.
I hope Jake Piekowski gets some playing time.
Yep, dead last behind Jacksonville.
The Jaguars?
No. No Tim Tebow for them. Whatever Jacksonville University's mascot is. I don't know, and no offense, Jacksonville, I don't care.
Is it Jacksonville or is it Jacksonville State?
Well, their logo is JU, so I'm going to assume there's no state, but there could be.
Okay, cool. All right, we'll go with that.
Yep.
Kennesaw State fans, we're sorry. We know nothing about you outside of what little we do, and even Nebraska should beat you. I don't.
What a terrible Christmas present if they don't.
Yeah, especially considering they got to fly to Lincoln. And here's the thing. Jacksonville or Kennesaw State, it's a little chilly in Lincoln during that time of the year. There's probably going to be some snow. Probably a lot of ice in the ground because that's just kind of how things go. Runses will keep you warm. I don't know. That's all I got for you guys.
Yep. We hope that you did your Christmas shopping beforehand. You probably won't get to visit any of the fine mall establishments in Lincoln while you're there.
The outlets in Gretna.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you fly into Omaha, but I mean, why bother taking the bus when you can go directly from Lincoln there? The outlets in Gretna are great. I do like the spouse and I always hit there whenever we're back in the state. But that wraps up the non-con. We don't have the conference schedule out. That will come later this summer, probably late August. But we do know who the Big Ten opponent pairings are. That was announced back in May. The upcoming conference schedule will feature home games only against Illinois, Maryland, and Minnesota. Unfortunately, Maryland does not have to play two games in Lincoln this year. That's probably never really going to balance out as a result of COVID. Going to be one of those weird things forever in the history books. Away games will feature Michigan State, Penn State, and Purdue, and both home and away round robins will happen against Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, Northwestern, Ohio State, Rutgers, and Wisconsin. Good old Wisconsin. No word yet on if anybody will be allowed to record the coach during the game or not when the Badgers come to town.
Ooh.
Yeah, Wisconsin's got some issues.
Yep. Yeah. You know, the Grinch left on some less than ideal terms, it turns out. And his handpicked replacement, Greg Gard, is having a rough offseason after, though I'm going to come to his defense. The thing that really stood out to me, I didn't actually listen to any of the recording. For anybody who isn't familiar with this, a couple weeks ago, it was revealed that Wisconsin's head coach had a over 2 hour conversation recorded by somebody in the meeting, which was a all team meeting with the players venting about many complaints that they all had. 37 minutes only were actually released in a very cut up representation of the conversation. But one of the players was complaining that Greg Gard wasn't defending Brad Davidson fairly against unfair targeting by Big Ten refs. Now, I get he's obviously a member of the team, but is there really any defense to be had?
He's a dirty dude.
Yeah. After years of a player being known to play dirty and having opponents complain that he does things like intentionally punches them in their groin area when they set legal screens on him, is it really a surprise that Big Ten refs were finally told to start actually enforcing rules and making sure that the dirtiest player since, God, who is that Duke guy that America hated? Basically, the dirtiest player since him.
Christian, like, is it, oh, Christian?
No, it's not Christian. J.J. Reddick.
No, not Reddick. Was it more recent? Was it in the last 5 years? He kind of had a baby face?
Yeah.
He looked like Ted Cruz.
Grayson Allen. That was it.
There you go.
Yeah. The most hated basketball player in America since Grayson Allen, and the dirtiest player since Grayson Allen. You know? I mean, there's a certain Michigan State alum who had like a 1 or 2 year period there where he would hit other players in that same area. Nobody from Michigan State's fan base defended that. We all pointed out, yeah, no, there's no defense of that. That's totally uncalled for and inappropriate. They need to stop doing that. Come on, Wisconsin. Own up to it. Be better than Michigan State fans. That is probably a low blow to anybody from Wisconsin who hears this. So shots fired, I tell you.
They don't listen to this. They can't hear people who enunciate.
Well, you know, that's true. Oh, that's 1st and 10 Wisconsin, don't you know? Too busy drinking their beer and eating their cheese curds. But as our fearless leader would say, at least they're happy.
There you go. Good job. Hopefully John listens to this.
Saying nice things about, backhandedly nice things about Wisconsin, I think, is about as good as any, for me at least, to end it on. Do you have any closing thoughts that you'd like to add, Patrick?
You know, earlier today we're like, hey, the non-con came out. Let's do a quick podcast. 20 minutes. I think we're pushing an hour.
We're getting close, yeah.
This is how it works. And we didn't have Nate. The three-man weave isn't even together. Though I'm looking at Skype, Slack, and at 8:23 p.m., he goes, he's fading, so I might be able to join. Well, Nate, you didn't join. You don't need our permission. Just jump in. Anyway, yep. That's all I got. I think this is a good one. We need to do more of these. And
most definitely. We do apologize for our absences. We try, but
nonetheless, you'll hear from us next in August.
Hopefully sooner, but we'll try. We'll see what happens. And there's certainly a lot to talk about, but in the meantime, we kept to the schedule on this one, and we hope that you look forward to basketball as much as we did, demonstrated by the fact that we went a half hour over our goal of minimum time. So, you know, it's an enjoyable thing for us. But as always, we thank all of our listeners. We encourage you to please subscribe. Be sure to download and subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you prefer. That way you won't miss whenever the next special episode drops, because they're all special. Some more special than the others, but this one definitely special. You also get all the other great, but not quite as great, Coronation Radio podcasts as well. Follow us on Twitter at Bangs and Dags. Follow myself at Sparty on Huskers, and follow Patrick at Patrick Your Heart. Leave a review on whatever app, and please listen and share, even if you don't feel like subscribing. Please share. You stay classy.
We love you all. Go Big Red.